Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Punaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastoma Vidavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 7, Adhyaya 2, Adhikarna 2, Puranas are Vedic. Srila Jiva Goswami says that Puranas are so named because they make the Vedas complete. Does he mean the Vedas are incomplete? No, but the Puranas are a form of explanatory supplementary literature that help us understand the terse cryptic message of the Vedas. Like the Vedas, they convey knowledge of the absolute truth, and to do so, they must be transcendental like the Vedas. To prove the Vedic nature of the Itihasas and Puranas, he gives the example of completing a golden bracelet. The golden bracelet is incomplete. It can be completed by gold and not by lead. In other words, the metal which will complete the bracelet but must be gold. Similarly, if the Itihasas and Puranas complete the Vedas, then they must be Vedic in nature. The Skanda Purana 4.95.12 indicates the equal status, transcendental status of the Puranas, Itihasas and Vedas as follows. Vede Rama 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 Yane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adhavante Chamadyecha Haris Sarvatra Giyate. In the Vedas, the Ramayana, Puranas, and Mahabharata, Lord Hari is glorified everywhere. The beginning, the middle, and end. The conclusion is that because the Itihasas and Puranas emanate from the same source as the four Vedas and have the same purport, they are also equally authoritative, so much so that the Upanishads call them the fifth Veda. Okay, so then a doubt comes up. The Puranas and Itihasas are actually the Veda, then why is there difference in the style of composition? Uttara. Though the Vedas and Puranas indicate only one meaning, Bhagavan endowed with all Shaktis, and are both without human authors. The Vedas have particular swaras of intonations of pitch, and the Puranas and Itihasas do not. This element is different, right? Because that's what makes the difference. So therefore, there's some grammar that defines those swaras. Right? Because you want to make sure it's very exact when you're doing the ritual. Yes.
Can we say that another difference is like the Veda is not a discussion?
No, Vedas have discussions. Like Upanishads, momentary are discussions. And that's why the previous doubt is that these are spoken by sages. So you're saying it's aparusheya, but we see sages are discussing there in the Veda. So then that would indicate that it came later. That means there was some knowledge there that may have been aparusheya, but then the problem is that then all these sages are discussing that, and that's what's been documented then as the Veda. That's their idea. So then Krishna points out is that no. He says the Veda says these things, and those sages, then they're empowered to say these things. The Veda already has that, and then the Veda will be based on that conversation. So therefore, Krishna has them speak what he is given. Does that make sense? So it is also conversations. Upanishads are conversations, and the Vedas have many conversations like that. But whether the Brahmanas and Aranyakas, that I can't say like that. Especially Brahmanas, I think they're very just the rules and technical points on this spoon, you know, made of this and this way, then you use it like this and that kind of thing.
And Purana is only discussion.
Purana basically is always discussion, yeah, because all of the 18 Puranas are spoken by Sutta Goswami to the sages at Naimisharanya. Now, whether that Sutta means Ugrashava or Ramaharshana, but the point is Sutta has spoken these. And Sutta was given, Ramaharshana Sutta was given the authority of the Puranas. So it doesn't matter if he spoke it or his son, because, you know, does that make sense? He was given them, his son knew them all. The Vedas are written in Vedic Sanskrit, which necessarily involves three different tone accents. Udatta, high, Svarita, intermediate, and Anudatta, low. In the Vedic language, the meaning of a word can be changed if the accent is changed. Footnote 1. An example of this occurs in the history of the demon Vritta, who is created by the chanting of the mantra during the sacrifice. Hata putrastatas tvashta juha vendraya satrave. Indra Shatro Vivar Dhasva Ma Chiram Jahi Vid Visham. After Vishwarup was killed, his father, Twashta, performed ritualistic ceremonies to kill Indra. He offered oblations in the sacrificial fire, saying, O enemy of Indra, flourish to kill your enemy without delay. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.9.11. Srila Prabhupada elaborates, there was some defect in Twashta's chanting of the mantra because he chanted it long instead of short, and therefore the meaning changed. Tvasta intended to chant the word Indra Shatro, meaning O enemy of Indra. In this mantra, the word Indra is in the possessive case, Shasti, and the word Indra Shatro is called a Tatpurusha compound, Tatpurusha Shamasa. Unfortunately, instead of chanting the mantra short, Tvasta chanted it long, and its meaning changed from enemy to Indra, who is the enemy. Consequently, instead of an enemy of Indra's, there emerged the body of Ritrasura, of whom Indra was the enemy. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.9.11 purport. Yeah, so that's the thing. So it is being pointed out here, it means something in the Vedic. In the classical, it doesn't. So they don't see here where it would come out. But so makes sense. A scholar of ordinary Sanskrit must learn extra vocabulary and rules of grammar, which require years of study, in order to understand Vedic Sanskrit. For example, even before studying the Vedas, one must study the six corollaries, or limbs, called Vedangas, right? So it means all the Sanskrit grammar and all these things. These six limbs are Siksha, the science of correct pronunciation and intonation, as variously practiced by the schools of each Veda. Kalpa, the detailed process of performing rituals and sacrifice. Vyakarana, the rules of grammar. Nirupta, Vedic lexicography, which sets forth the meaning of difficult words used in the Vedas and their etymological derivations. Jyotish, astronomy and astrology. Astronomy used for calculating the correct times for performing sacrifices. And Chandas, the Vedic theory of poetic meters. Each of these limbs is extensive and requires serious study. And even when the language of the Vedic verses is fathomed, the cryptic nature makes them impossible to decipher without learning them explained by a bona fide guru in disciplic succession. So then, further doubt. When Shruti texts enjoin that one recite the Itihasas and Puranas, they refer not to that which are later discussed by sages, but to certain passages of the original Vedas. Uttara. In the quote from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Yajñavalkya speaks to Maitreyi. O Maitreyi, the breathing of the powerful or worshipable Mahata, Lord Asya, eternally perfect Bhutasya, is the Vedas, Itihasas, and Puranas. Smriti. The object of Smriti. The opposing opinion addressed in text 12.3 centers on the view held by some ritualistic Brahmanists, impersonal Vedantists, and contemporary Hindu reform movements. These groups acknowledge the authority of the Shrutis, but not of most Smriti texts. According to this opinion, when Shruti texts enjoin that one recite the Itihasas and Puranas, they refer not to the more recent texts, now called as such, but to certain passages of the original Vedas. Right? So what they're doing is they're falling into this trap of thinking that everything's by time. Right? And so this is, and these are those who follow the Vedas. Then you come into, you know, scholars. So then you come into the modern context. They even more than try to, you know, fit, okay, the Rig Veda age, and then this age, and then the Upanishadic age, and that. And they give it so many hundreds of thousands of years, you know, difference, and then, you know, like this. But they try to fit everything within the last 5,000 years, if not less. So it's the same principle. It's the same mode. It's just one has the Veda, so they accept that, but then they still put in the timeline. And the others who don't. I mean, the others who don't accept the Vedas and put it according to a timeline. The one there, because they accept the Vedas, they don't mind, you know, a long time.
Yes.
And the others, that since their history, even though they claim that they're academics and have nothing to do with religion, why 5,000 years? Why the last 5,000 years? Why not more?
Yes.
Right? Because according to the Bible, that's when things started, was 5,000 years ago. So even though they claim to be secular, they're still using the Bible's time period. Yes?
Actually, the Indologists use not even 5, maximum 2,000.
Yes.
Because it has to be after the Greeks.
After the Greeks. Oh, okay. So, okay, because the Greeks were first. Okay, so even there, yeah. But you know, when they go back and, you know, Neanderthal and all that, and how you say, then, you know, painting on the walls, and they'll go back, you know, those few. So the difficulty comes up is these problems there. But the point is the Ramayana and the Vedas, the Itihasas and Puranas, they're eternal. They're also like the Veda. And then at some point that discussion comes up, and that's documented. But the what Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikid Maharaj, that's eternal knowledge. Those are eternal aspects. Just they may be talking about them, you know, in a contemporary context. Does that make sense? But that knowledge is always there. It's eternal. But otherwise, then, why is it in Brahma, in his court, he has all the Itihasas and Puranas and Vedas and all the Vedic literature in his court personified? Right? Otherwise, then they wouldn't be only in Kali Yuga. Then some of them would be there. All the Smritis, all the Puranas, right? And so that means in 12 hours, you would have 1,000 times where they appear for like a minute or two and then disappear again. No. So that would be really annoying. Someone's making a point, and halfway through a sentence, he disappears. And everyone sits around, okay, I got to wait for 5 minutes. And then they all sit there, and then he's back. And so, as I was saying, and then, psh, gone again. Yeah. Because he's only during Kali Yuga, and so there, that's 1,000 times a day, you know, so. And that's only within the 12 hours. So, 1,000 times in 12 hours. Yes. So that would be annoying. So they're always there. Because all these scriptures are eternal. But you make the difference between it, Shruti and Smriti, because of the Vedic grammar. And that's what the Acharya said. These groups acknowledge the authority of Shruti, but not of most Smriti texts. Right? So even that they kind of accept or don't accept according to their own desire. Like they'll accept Vedanta Sutra and Bhagavad Gita, but they may not accept, you know, other things, even though technically those are also Smriti. Yes?
Actually, we see that everything is composed by Vyasadeva.
Yes.
Only by Vyasadeva he got to know that literature is there here.
Yes.
Even after that, why Vyasadeva is not differentiated? Why these people differentiate?
Everybody's got to have something unique. If you don't differentiate, then how are you special? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let us say, you're in Bombay. And there's just some new fashion started in the West. Okay? It hasn't really reached Bombay. Right? But some of these, you know, rich kids and all that, either they had, you know, went to America and that and saw it, or, you know, they were watching, you know, some program or something like that, and so then they saw it and thought that was cool, so then that one guy starts doing it. So now, it's special because only he's doing it. Now, what happens if the next guy in his group, 10 other guys are doing it, and they all look the same? You understand? So that's the whole thing. It's the uniqueness. So Muni means you have to have your own philosophy. So this is one of the ways they create their own philosophy. They accept only this, not that, and this. And so the Vaishnavas are the only ones that accept all the Vedic literatures, and even of that, only the Gaudiyas accept everything, really. Because we know how to work with it.
Then we are accepting six systems of philosophy.
Yeah, we just take what's useful, because if knowledge means Veda means knowledge, so anything that's actually knowledge is Veda. Right? Now, whether it's documented, as the Veda by Vyasa or not, that is there. Right? So now, if one of these other Munis in that observes something and then gives a very clear definition that's not too broad or too narrow, right? So it's exact. Then it's so nicely done, others will accept that. But it doesn't mean you accept his philosophy, how he's using it. You know what I'm saying? Just like we use a car, but who's made that car? Not necessarily a nice guy. You know, so many things we accept, but we're accepting that, we're not accepting everything else. Does that make sense? So it's like that. You take what's useful and what's not. So since it is all Veda, then it's not a problem. Right? Because there is only Veda. There is only the knowledge that Krishna has given. There isn't something else. Yeah. Yes.
Also, it tends to be that there is this academic aspect within it, that the Vedas, they have like, unless you're a qualified Brahmana, you cannot recite. So that keeps them in their own category as special people. That's why they don't want to, like, because the Vedas, it has to be recited by only Brahmanas. So that gives them the authority on the text.
Right.
If we include Itihasas and Puranas, it is
then it's for everybody. Okay, yeah, then the Brahmins have to. That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Is that good? Yeah. According to this opinion, when Shruti text enjoined that one recite the Itihasas and Puranas, they refer not to the more recent text, now called as such, but to certain passages of the original Vedas. In support of this view, some Vedic passages fit the functional definition of Itihas narrations. For example, the Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1.2.1, or 3.1 and 2.1, says, Yato va imani bhutani jayante. From that supreme, everything in existence was generated. And etasmat atmana akasha sambhutaha. From that supreme Lord, the sky came into being. Therefore, this view concludes the popular, recently composed smritis cannot be the real itihasas and puranas and cannot correctly be equated with the perfect eternal Vedas. Right? So it mentioned, okay, from all this was generated. Okay. So then what about the detail of everything else, how that all works? Right? Because the Purana has to have five aspects. So where are the kings mentioned here? You know, where's the dynasties? Where's the secondary creation? You know, okay, and then the sky came into being. That'll be, but this is all primary creation. Where's the secondary? Where are the Prajapatis? Where are the Manus? You know, so they just do like that. They find something and say, see? When actually it's not, there's nothing to see. Srila Jiva Goswami replies by confirming that all the Vedic literature from the Rig Veda through the Puranas is essentially a single conception. Only because the languages of the Smriti, Shruti and Smriti are different are the texts designated separately. He elaborates on this topic in the next Anucheda as well. In the next two Anuchedas, Jiva Goswami explains more about how the Itihasas and Puranas are not inferior to the Vedas. This is Baladev, that last point. Okay.
We are giving vritti further.
But this last point, the next two anuchetas, that's Baladeva or that's...
That's us only writing.
So then this should be made smaller, the vritti.
Okay.
Right?
Isn't it? Separated it by the...
Yes, but it still should have that, so you know, because otherwise it looks like it's a continuation of Baladeva's commentary. Because he's been the one talking up to now in the main text, no?
So it should also be indented?
Vritis are always. Yeah? Because all this Samshay Uttara, this is all Baladeva, right?
Yeah,
and so what's indented is the Vriti. And so all that should be, all those should be mentioned. And that you separated it, that's so you know you're talking about the next one, not about the last one. That's why you do that. So that's good. Yes.
So, if I understood correctly, in this Anucheda 12, the main point is the Veda and the Purana are same, let's say, conception packet.
Yes, there's the same packet, the Vedic literature. That's why then it says, don't blaspheme the Vedic literature or those in pursuance of the Vedic literature. So Vedic literature includes the 14 books. Like that. Some will try to restrict it only to the Veda. Only the Shruti, not the Smriti. But the point is, no, it's all 14 books.
But only, Vaishnava can understand that.
Yes, only Vaishnavas will understand that completely. Others won't, because they're only interested in karma, so they don't want to look past. That means, in other words, those interested in karma don't really have to look much beyond the Vedas, because then they can also get Dharma Sutras, Kriya Sutras, they can get all their rituals and everything. As long as that's there, they're good. And those that are interested in liberation, then the Upanishads deal with that. Then if they accept Vedanta Sutra, you know, like this, or Bhagavad Gita, then, you know, it works nicely. And so they don't really have to get into the Puranas and all that. Because the Puranas, then you see it's always about the Lord and His pastimes. So even though you might have other people being prominent in the pastimes, you know, different perspective that you're taking it from, then the difficult thing comes is that it makes it harder for them to establish their philosophy. Well, if you leave out this smriti, then it makes it very easy. Plus, then, as Prabhu pointed out, is that then, since the Vedas are only accessible by the brahmanas, because you have to be initiated into them, then that means then everybody else, I mean, only the brahmins can therefore give interpretation. And everybody else then has to follow them. And then that gives them their position. You know, especially in Kali Yuga. In other ages, they don't have this problem. This is a Kali Yuga problem. Anucheta 13. Ata eva skanda prabhasa kande. Therefore it is said in the Skanda Purana, long ago the grandfather of the devatas performed intense austerities. The Vedas with their six angas appeared with their verses in particular order. Then all the eternal pure Puranas, embodiment of all scriptures, with eternal words of a billion verses, emerged from Brahma's mouth. Please hear about the different Puranas, starting with the Brahma Purana, Skanda Purana 2, 3 through 5, footnote 2. According to the Skanda Purana, Brahma, from his mouth, first manifested the Vedas and their integral supplements, the six Vedangas, the Patapatas, and the Kramapatas. These are the how you chant them. Because you have the main chanting, and then you know how we hear it. But then you also, so that's called krama, like that. So then padapad is one of the ways you learn. Then you learn the words. Means krama pat will be when you chant, you go A, B, C, D, like this. You just chant the words through, right? But padapat means you go A, B, C, D. Like that, right? So there's eight of these. So there's also A, B, B, C, C, D, and then other combinations. So the whole idea is that you know it very, very nicely. And generally when you do padapat, then the thing is people who know the grammar, they would break it back in like our word for word. So it would be like chanting the Bhagavatam in word for word. That would be Padapad. You know? But then Krama would be from the verses as they're put together. Or that's called, or that's a Samhita Pat or something like that. But the point is they have eight different ways to chant. You know, that way then they know them so well. Because as we saw, is that one syllable off ruins the whole yajna. So that means they have to know it so well that they never make a mistake in the syllable. So how qualified they have to be. Now, those Brahmins, now, yes, they're in their own category and only they can deal with the Veda like that. So that's why you see the Puranas and everything are for, you know, others, so that they can get that full benefit. So the Brahmins, by dealing with that, if they're in Parampara, then they would understand the absolute truth from their work with the Vedas. Doesn't mean they don't know the others, but just from that, they would know so much. Right? But in the Kali Yuga, seeing that everyone's born Shudra, then, you know, and that's good, not less, right? So even in the West, they're born Shudras, then they fall down to Malechas and Yavanas, yeah. So, yeah. So then, in this, so then they don't have that access to the Veda to be able to use it in that way. It may still be that's their occupations and all that, but now they're going to have to rely on the Smritis, not the Shruti. Not that they don't use Shruti, but they use the Shruti for the ritual and that as good as they can get. Like that. But they can't, they won't necessarily appreciate all the different aspects. So without the, you know, without the Bhagavad Gita, without the Bhagavatam, they won't understand what's going on. Is that it? Having manifested these, he next produced the Puranas all at the same time. Akilam. The Skanda Purana's account describes the Puranas as summaries of the complete Vedic literature, Sarva Shastra Mayam. Even though the Puranas are officially in the Smriti category, the account says they are unchanging, Dhruvam, and beneficial to study, Punyam, and they are expressions of the same transcendental sound of Shabda Pramana as the Vedas, Nitya Shabda Mayam. The Puranas altogether are said to contain 1 billion verses, Shat Koti Pravishtaram. The 18 Puranas known on earth, which total only 400,000 verses, are the result of Srila Vyasadeva's having condensed them from the one original Purana still current on higher planets in its much longer version. So he's just brought it down, and so that we are, because as it is, studying the Bhagavatam, right, then that's even we're going through like we're going, it's 6 years. Right? And so then doing all the 18 Puranas, you know, so that's the whole point. So that's 400,000. That's just a drop compared to 1 billion. But he's taken the essence. Right? He's taken the essence from that. Because the whole point is to know Krishna. That's what the Vedic literature is for. So the point is it's unlimited. The Vedic literature is unlimited. It's like an ocean. So, and that's all, the whole Vedic literature. Even you take one branch, it's unlimited. Is that you know, so that's the point, because it's coming from Krishna, it has those same kind of qualities. Okay. The billion verses are known in Brahma Loka, right? And as you come down, then they'll know less and less. Like that. Rig Yaju Sama Taravakyan Vedan Purvadibhir Mukai Shastram Ijyam Shuti Stomam Prayaschittam Vyadhat Kramat. From Brahma's eastern mouth, the Rig Veda and activities of the Hota were established. From his southern mouth, the Yajurveda and activities of the Advaryu were established. From his western mouth, the Samaveda and the activities of the Udgata were established. From his northern mouth, the Atharvaveda and the activities of the Brahma were established. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:12:37. Itihasa Puranani Panchama Panch panchamam vedam ishvara sarvebhya eva vaktrebhya shastrije sarva darshana. Brahma, who has faces in all directions, created the fifth Veda composed of the Puranas and Itihasas from all of his mouths. Footnote. Okay, from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.12.39. It's always better when there's a footnote, you do like this, where you put it after the mention of the verse, because sometimes it comes just before and then it doesn't read as well. Like, but like this, this one and the one above, that works really well. Yes, so they come from all five. So whatever is the points of each, because each of those mouths is describing the details of one of the Brahmanas. Because the Brahmana, Rig Veda, and the Hota is established. Then the Yajurveda works with the Advarya works with the Yajur, the Udgata with the Sama. The Brahma is in that position of the Atharva. He knows all of them. Right? So these aspects are there, but and that way you have the Vedic knowledge. But the Puranas and the Itihasas, they come from all the mouths. So that means all the activities of the four Vedas are then, the essence of that is contained in the Puranas and Itihasas. Does that make sense? Otherwise you say, if this one came out of this mouth, then this Purana would be for this, that Purana for that, but they all came from all the mouths. You understand? So that's how it's the conclusion, that's how it completes. Footnote 3. The Skanda Puran tells how, during the work of periodic recreation, four-headed Brahma manifests the Puranas along with the Vedas. Lord Brahma is the grandfather of the quote-unquote immortal, or more properly, very long-lived demigods, who descend from Marichi and Brahma's other sons. Brahma does not create the material cosmos ex nihilo. Rather, it already exists but lies dormant in Brahma's body as he sleeps after the annihilation at the end of each of his days. Nor does he create the eternal Vedas. Therefore, in giving the account of his producing the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, uses the verb sastrije, he sent forth. Right? So in other words, it just goes back into his body. Right? And then it comes out. Does that make sense? At the end of each day, because in the morning he has to recreate again. When he gets up.
It's like he's like intermediary.
Yes, he's always the intermediary. You know, he's empowered to take care of that. That's why he's the lord of the mode of passion. But so he gets up in the morning, he does his meditation, and this way everything manifests, and then, you know, I say it's a new dawn, it's a new day, right? It's a new 14 worlds. Yeah, like that. Yes? No? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gita comes in Mahabharata, and which is a part of Smriti. So when Prabhupada writes in the purports, whatever shlokas are there, the same shloka is quoted in Upanishads.
Yes.
How it is quoted in the Shrutis.
Yes.
Because they compare that what is mentioned in Smriti is
there in Shruti, yes. But now we can approach it because it's not in the Vedic grammar.
Yes.
So now we can read that. So we can get the full benefit of the Upanishads by reading that. Many times you see they're exactly the same verse, and sometimes there's a word difference. You know, a synonym is used or like that. But yeah, the same points are there. So when it says that it's the ABCs, it's not like the contemporary concept of ABCs where it's just a little bit of a tool to use and then you learn the real thing. The Vedic is because knowledge descends. It has all the fundamental points that are made, and it gives some detail. Then Bhagavatam, they'll give more detail, but the fundaments aren't any more. The philosophical points made in Gita, there are no more points. It's just that they just give the basic because of the understanding. Then we see in Kapila Gita to give more, then in the Uddhava Gita to give more than that. So it's the same knowledge. That means about how you have the Dasa Mool. It's the same thing. It's not. There's not more knowledge than that. Is that what I'm saying? So, yeah. The word Veda is directly used here to indicate the Puranas and Itihasas. Elsewhere it is said, Rig Yaju Sama Tarvakya Vedas Chatvara Udrita. itihasa puranam cha panchamo veda uchate. He divided the Veda into Rig, Yajur, Sama, and Atharva. Histories and Puranas are called the fifth Veda, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.4.20. So all these verses are there, but when they come, then there's one kind of verses. Because the Vedic verses, then you have the all the Rigs. The Rigs are the hymns, the you could say the core verse on which everything else is expanded. Right? So that's there. The yajus will be all the prose, that is how you use and how you apply things. The sama will be all the songs. So these are also, the songs are also based on riks. Right? That's why it's called Rig Veda, because it's made of riks. Right? Then the atharva means what's ever, you know, left over that's not specifically used by these three Brahmins and the yajna, the miscellaneous. Right, so that position is known by the Brahma priest, and at the same time, as we also see, is that they're all different things that, you know, take care of things beyond just the standard what you require. In other words, the three Vedas you can perfectly get along with, but there's extra stuff in there, like Tvashta doing the yajna to get, you know, this demon to kill Indra. That'll be from Atharva Veda. Right? So the point is it doesn't always work out so great. So if you stick to the first three Vedas, you'll do better. Vedan, so it's always been there, but then so the whole thing is known, Prabhupada mentioned, as Atharva. Because Atharva means the miscellaneous. So when you have all of them mixed together, it's called Atharva. But they do have their branches. So even though it's all together as a tarva, you know what's Rik, what's Yajus, what's Sama. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say you have a compendium or a collection of some writer's works, short stories and poems and other things like that. You can, without knowing, you can point out which ones are poems. Which ones are short stories? Which ones are fantasy? Which ones are... You can tell that. But it's all one book. Right? So, yeah. Vedan adya patya masa Mahabharata panchaman. He studied the Vedas and the Mahabharata, the fifth Veda. Mahabharata 12, 340, 11. Mahabharata cannot be considered the fifth Veda unless it is equal in quality to the Vedas. Right? So it's also a fifth Veda. So it has to be equal in quality to the Vedas. That's the point, is it can't be considered Veda unless it's equal in quality. Karshnam cha panchamam Vedam yan Mahabharatam smita. The Mahabharata Veda Vyas is considered the fifth Veda, Bhavishu Purana. Rig Vedam Bhagavo Jemi Yajur Vedam Sama Vedam Atharvanam Chaturtam Itihasam Puranam Panchamam Vedanam Vedam. I studied the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda. Yeah, we don't need the comma there. Sama Veda and Atharva Veda. The Itihasas and Puranas, the fifth of Veda. Chandogya Upanishad 7.1.2 Sama Kotamiya Shaka.
So, we speaking here yesterday?
It's Chandogya Upanishad.
Yes.
Sama Kotamiya Shaka. So that means the Chandogya Upanishad, there's a conversation. That's what we're saying. The Vedas are all conversations. It's just written in Vedic Sanskrit. While the conversations in the Puranas and Itihasas are in classical Sanskrit. Okay. So that sense? Yeah. Otherwise, who wants to hear something that's not a story? Right?
But it is not Vyasadeva, it is some other...
No, but Vyasadeva compiles these. Because we have to understand is that the knowledge of these is much more vast.
Yes.
He's bringing out this about the Purana and how this and that, but it doesn't say actually how much is there in the other things. Right? Because already before it mentioned that you'd have, what is it, 4,000 some odd different branches of everything.
And we only 1,130. Sorry? 1,130.
Different forms. And then that times four.
Yeah, four.
Like that. So then you come out with a lot. So he's compiled then what we can use.
You know. But it is, you can say, the end forward is assistant to light.
That's there. But the point is he's a Shakti Veshavatar, or in our case, then he's Vishnu Tattva. But the point is he's come to do a particular thing, so he has the potency to do it.
Yes.
So it's not that he can't understand it. So when you say that, it means you have to consider it very good that he's taken 1 billion verses and condensed that down to 400,000. And it reads well, it makes sense, you can get the context, everything like that. So that's pretty good. Right? So he has to be empowered by the Lord to do that. You don't just do that just because you're smart. Right? Okay. Since the above statements state that the Puranas and Itihasas, as part of the Vedas, well-known objections that Puranas and Itihasas are simply names of parts of the four Vedas, in explaining the quotation from Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 2:40:10, are hereby refuted. The Puranas are even specifically mentioned. Brahmyam Puranam Pratamam, mentioned above. Right. So unless they go back and say, okay, well, these shlokas, these are the verses, these are the Brahma, this is the, you know, and then it says it is 1 billion verses, how are they going to fit that into the Veda? So if they look at it realistically, the point is because they're Brahmins, they say it, nobody else knows, so how do you know, so then that works. Not that they know, just that, you know, they use that so that no one else can contest them. So all that what we read now, that's all the verses and translations of that Adhikarana.
Anucheda.
That Anucheda. So it's quite big Anucheda. So. Okay. Okay. And then Jiva Goswami doesn't write anything on that?
No. Sarvasambhadi. He doesn't write the commentary on this one.
On this, but he does sometimes, but sometimes
yeah, yeah,
not. Okay, and then so here Baladev Vidyavushanthi. Okay. These verses explain the appearance of the Vedas and Puranas. The whole Sastri J in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3:12:39 means Brahma manifested the fifth Veda. It was not created. The Mahabharata says that Mahabharata is the fifth Veda. The Mahabharata could not be considered the fifth Veda unless it was equal in quality to the Vedas. It is like saying, call the Brahmanas, including the fifth one, called Yajna-datta. Right? Does that make sense? He has to be a Brahman also. Karshanam means spoke by Vyas, quoted from Bhavishu Purana. Because it is stated that the Puranas and Itihasas are the fifth Veda, objections are refuted. There is an argument that the words Purana and Itihasa mentioned in the Brihad Aranyaka quotation are merely parts of the Veda which narrate previous events and stories with the five characteristics, Sarga Pratisarga Vamsa Manvantaras and Vamsanu Charitam. Footnote 4, see Anucheda 61. Where is Anucheda 61? Yes. No. But the point is if there's something important there, then you should just quote that little bit here. It means this whole point that now we have to go looking for it and all that. See, you have to look like this. You have people that sit in a chair all day. Right? And so they don't get any exercise. Plus, they're doing the same thing. Take the page, read it, turn it. Take the page, read it, turn it. They get bored, and they have no exercise. So, therefore, the standard technique is, it says, see Anucheda 61. Now, they're going to have to exercise by turning more pages than normal to find it. And, plus, it's not just the boring one page after another. Then they get some, you know, it's some variety. Then, having read that, then they'll turn the back and then continue where they were. Right? But when you're doing plenty of things like chanting japa, going to the temple and all that, you have exercise and all that, and you're looking for the essence, not for variety in the reading. So therefore, then you can actually give if there's anything important.
Sorry, I just don't
want to say. Okay, no, I'm just saying. So standard.
Basically there he explains, towards the end he explains through the 10 topics of the Purana, he explains the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana.
Okay.
Everything takes shelter of the 10 promises.
Yes. No, I'm just saying, if it's not so important for here, but just a little bit, then you just give a short thing, because then we'll get into longer. But if it actually applies very much, then you give how much is necessary.
You need to wait. Isn't it just a big eye?
Yeah, yeah. And at the same time, it's also the same about it before. But yeah, you know, see, yes. You know, Anucheta, you know, three, you like that. No, whatever is important, bring that up here. So we can read and it goes through. And then if somebody wants to, they need exercise or like that, then they can go and look and read the whole thing. Does that make sense? Yeah. Those stories are accepted as parts of the Veda. The idea concocted by persons absorbed in karma that the statement in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad does not refer to the Puranas and Mahabharata written by Vyas for Shudras and others is refuted by the above quotations. Right, because the point is they're the Brahmins, they can understand everything from the Veda. Why do they need all these things that's written for Shudras? No, the point was is that the essence of the Veda is so important that it should be accessible for everyone. Not that the Puranas are for Shudras.
Yes.
It's just that since it's the essence, everybody should have, access to that. And so, therefore, the Brahmins, by studying it, then they'll understand the essence, and the Shudras, by studying it, they'll understand the essence. Vritti. As a whole, these statements put to rest the objection previously discussed that the Itihasas and Puranas mentioned in Shruti cannot be the ones edited by Vyas and open to the purview even of uneducated Shrutas. Hearing the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad's enumeration of scriptures that proceed from the breath of the Supreme, see text 12.4, one might conclude that the Itihasas and Puranas mentioned there are not necessarily separate from the four Vedas listed first. But now we see that many other authorized scriptures place the Itihasas and Puranas in a category of their own, equal to but separate from the first four Vedas. The Skanda Purana, for example, just after relating the emanation of the Vedas and then the Puranas from Lord Brahma, lists the Puranas, beginning with the Brahma Purana. These Puranas are unquestionably the 18 major ones edited by Srila Vyas. So it's just obvious, but the point is it's in the, who would know this? Therefore they ignore it. Right? In other words, I may be wrong, but you don't know I'm wrong, so as long as you think I'm right, I'm gonna roll with it. So that's what they're doing.
If you cannot convince others about your point, you can confuse.
Yes. At least something is done. Why you should do nothing? You know, you shouldn't be lazy. Now, you know, it's like Buddha came to convince them about being peaceful and not killing all the animals, that they couldn't understand it, so therefore he bewildered them.
First we have to confuse the people, then conclude.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
because if they have their own ideas, you have to take them away from that. So however you work that. But you can also do that just by, as we say, is by speaking above what they know. Speaking Vedanta. And logically, you know, using the logic, it makes sense, so then it makes sense. So then when you start to drop down into their context, then they'll accept it because it's already worked. They've already logically seen how it's worked.
That is actually the positive side of there's something esoteric I don't understand.
Yes.
So people accept you as authority.
Yes, yes.
That is translated into
academic
circles to different.
Yes, that they're not giving conclusions. So that's the Anucheta 14. Panchamatve karanam cha vayu purane sutta vakyam. The description of the five parts of the Veda is found in Vayu Purana. The Supreme Lord, Veda Vyas, accepted me as the speaker of the Itihasas and Puranas. There was one Veda called Yajur. He made it into four. Then Chaturhotras appeared in the Vedas. By them he made sacrifice. Advaryu by the Yajurveda, Hota by the Rig Veda, Udgata by the Sama Veda, and Brahma by the Atharva Veda. Vayu Purana 60:16-18. O best of the Brahmanas, knowledgeable of the meaning of the Puranas, Vyasa created all the Puranas in Mahabharata by describing the five elements, ancient events, and songs. This is the remnant of the Yajurveda. This defines the meaning of scripture. Vayu Purana 60:21-22. So showing here is that it's even coming from the, you know, is an extension of the, what do you call it, Yajur, right? So five elements, that means then all the whole creation. So that's primary and secondary creation and everything. The ancient events, that would then include naturally the Prajapatis, the Manus, and the kings, right? And then the songs will mean all the prayers. Because you see in there is that there's some pastime, and then somebody's offering prayers. Right? Because then, you know, somebody meets a great personality like that, then they always are offering prayers. And by that, then you have the knowledge and understand things. Yes? The Puranas are mentioned in the recitation of Brahma Yajna, daily recitation of the Vedas, footnote 5. Text 14.2 mentions the sacrifice called Brahma Yajna. This is one of the five great sacrifices, Pancha Mahayajna, enjoined for every Vedic householder, Brahmana, as daily atonement for the unavoidable violence he commits by the five places of slaughter in the house. The broom, the water pot, the spice mortar, the kitchen stove, and the stone on which rice is ground, right? These are the slaughterhouses in your house. You may not have thought of them that way, but that's the way it is. That's why it says, oh, but we don't believe in this, but it works. So that's why the Panchamahayagya is there. What are these five sacrifices? A householder must honor the demigods by Deva-yajna, daily fire sacrifices. Oh, the Deva-yajna, daily sacrifices. The revered forefathers by Pitru-yajna, offering of pinda. Human beings by Atithi-yajna, hospitality to guests. All living beings by Bhuta-yajna, the symbolic offering of a portion of food for one's plate at every meal. And before, they also used to go around and offer around the house and around the, like this. And finally, the Vedic sages by Brahma Yajna, recitation from various scriptures at the time of chanting the Gayatri Mantra. The details of the Brahma Yajna are specified in various shrutis, such as the Saptapada Brahmana and Taittiriya Aranyaka. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has cited this unidentified verse in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. Adhyapanam Brahma Yajna Pitri Yajnas Tu Tarpanam Homo Daivo Balir Bhauto Niri Yagyo Titi Pujanam. By offering oblations with ghee, one satisfies the demigods. By studying the Vedas, one performs Brahma Yajna, which satisfies the great sages. Offering oblations of water before one's forefathers called Pritri Yajna. By offering tribute, one performs Bhuta Yajna. By properly receiving guests, one performs Niri Yajna. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22:141. Right? You get my sense? So it's generally a set part of the Vedas that you'll chant every day. Means besides that, you'll be chanting wherever you're studying in the Veda. Like, let's say you're going through, so you say you do a chapter of the Veda a day, you recite. But you'll open that with that section that you always chant every day. So Brahma Yajna, generally it means one of the standard ones, means it's the first verse of each of the four Vedas. That opening verse from each one of them, that being chanted, that's the Brahma Yajna. Then you recite whatever it is specifically you're going to be chanting. Does that make sense? Yeah. So.
So now the system of study is like by chanting.
Yeah, because that means you're reciting the Veda. You're studying the Veda. Because that's the whole point, is you have to review so that you maintain. One is you maintain your chanting ability. Two, you maintain sure that all of your swaras are correct. And three, then naturally as you're reading, you're going to contemplate, because you're doing this so you know the Sanskrit, you know the grammar, then you know what the words mean, and so therefore you can contemplate it as it goes on. You know, it's just like we know these things, therefore we can read these words and know what it means. But you give these same words, let's say, to, you know, a young child, they may be able to read the words because they can read. That means maybe not in English, but in other languages. But it doesn't mean they know what it means. But if you study, then you know what they mean. Right? So that's the whole idea, is you should know. That's why the six Vedangas, you know, four of them being Sanskrit, then you know how that applies. You know the rituals. Therefore, when it refers to it, you know what it's talking about. When it says the dhruva should be like this, you know what a dhruva is. You know these things. Right? And then when it talks about the time, so on this titi at this time and this things, then this is done. So you know astrology, so you know how to do these things. Is that something?
Like to study Veda is part of life.
Yes, so for us it means every day we should be reading Prabhupada's books, the books of the Acharyas. You know, generally before we start, we say prayer to the spiritual master, to Lord Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, you know, the Panchatattva. And so that's our, you know, you could say like, and then you read. So that's the whole point. Studying the Veda is something you're supposed to do every day. That's why it's said that these things of devotional service are written into Varnashram. It's not that because it's in Varnashram we do it. No, because it's in Bhakti, it's written into Varnashram. So therefore, you're studying the scriptures on a daily basis, you're chanting japa, you're seeing the deities, you're seeing and worshipping the senior, you know, devotees and, you know, sages and like this. You're taking care of guests. You know, these are all just something that Vaishnavas do. They respectfully deal properly with all living entities and all that. And so then these scriptures just give some detail, you know, exactly how that's going. Like Manu will say is that for the householder, he'll take care of, you know, all the dependents in the house before himself. Right? So, because if he hasn't seen that they all are taken care of, how can he sit and eat, since he is responsible for them? Right? So that means in the traditional that the servants, their portion of food will already be set aside before the grihastha eats. Because if there's going to be shortage, the grihastha is short, because that means he didn't arrange enough. Because they're only cooking what he says. You know what I'm saying? So that would be, is that he said cook for 10, because they always do, but then some guests showed up, you know, like that, and four guests showed up, so now they're short. You know? So then you know, it's not enough for, you know, him and the, let's say it's enough for the dependents, then they'll get, but then he and his wife or close friends like that, they'll eat after. Now if it's not enough for all of them, then they'll cook again, and then they'll all be given. So that means when the householder, he sits with his wife like that, and then he eats. Like that. And if there's any close friends or relatives like that, then they'll eat at that time. Right? So a friend coming over is not a titi, because they just eat with you. A titi means no one else eats, they eat. A titi is the one that you sit them down and everyone's there serving and this and that. Maybe there's a senior member there, they also sit with them. You know, like in the house, many times the grandfather that will sit with the Brahmins that come, and you know, that are the titi and stuff like that, or any other senior person will sit with them. But everybody else is sitting separate. You know, it's like, I mean, I remember going to one program like that, and then because they have these far out arrangements for the kitchen and eating and all that, it's actually a very major part of the house, the old houses. And so you have the kitchen that's accessible from more than one side. It's not accessible just from the living area. It's accessible from other areas also. So that, like that. But they already then, you know, the women, how you say, who weren't involved, the elders, the pregnant women, the children, all that, they were all already eating. Like that. And then they have a room you bring in, and then that's where the Brahmins, you know, sit, and then the grandfather was there, and then like this, and whoever was there, then they sat, then they started the program. Like this. But others are already taken care of. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's slightly different from the Western thing, is that the, you know, the lord of the house, he eats, and whatever scraps are left, then the, you know, the, what do you call it, the servants can fight over the crumbs. Like that. That's not. That's why there's, you don't really hear of any revolutions in the Vedic, right? Because they don't do that. But in the contemporary, you constantly hear of that because they just don't take care of it.
Even in very small houses, there are always two doors. I mean, one door to go out is from the kitchen back.
Yes.
If it's a very small house.
Yes.
So that the back end is used by ladies. You know,
yes, yes. Yeah, even in the, I don't know about in Europe, but in America also all the houses were like that. Because the front of the house was on the road. Mm-hmm. And then behind the house you had the, so behind the house you had the lawn and things there. So generally the door went, and the kitchen was at the back of the house, so the door went out from there. That's interesting, I didn't realize that that was, yeah, yes.
In Napoleon Bonaparte, we ask him, what's your secret? Why your arm is fighting so much eagerly, so much loyalty? He said, my secret is I keep in mind.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Yeah, what is it? French are known for eating, so therefore he takes care. Yeah, that's the whole thing, is that it's, that, because people are inspired. You know, if you have nothing else, if you have good food, then life's okay. Okay, we're at the top.
After Krishna's time, the Puranas are mentioned.
Yeah. You should always try to get it where that one, I mean, if you have continuing here, okay, on the bottom, you should end this here, and this would go on the next page.
Yes.
Or move this up so that this, you know, falls on, you know, just like that. Because if you have to go back, then you don't know where you are. The following is recited during the ritual. Yad Brahmana ni hita tihasa puranani. The Brahmanas, itihasas and puranas, yajurveda aranyaka. If they were not the Vedas, they could not be recited in Brahma Yajna. Right? So it says here, you have the Vedas, you have the Brahmanas, itihasas and puranas in Brahma Yajna. It mentions them. Footnote 6. Some argue that the words Itihasa and Purana refers to parts of the Vedas which tell histories and stories and not the Mahabharata and Puranas written by Vyas. The Lord says, Kalen agrahanam matva puranasya dvijotama vyasarupa aham kritva samharami yuge yuge. Thinking that in the passing of time people cannot receive the Puranas, I appear in the form of Vyas and collate them yuga after yuga. Matsya Purana 53:8-9. The meaning is, quote, I bring together the Puranas which were previously there so that people can easily access them, end quote. After that it is said in the same Purana. The Puranas are divided into 18 with 400,000 verses during each Dwapara Yuga on earth. Even today in heavenly planets, the verses number 1 billion. Their meaning has been condensed into 400,000 verses. Matsya Purana 53:9-11. What remains of the Yajurveda mentioned above is the 400,000 verses on earth, which contain, in summary, as the essence, the meaning of the billion verses in the heavenly planets. They are not a different creation. Okay. Srila Balarama Vidyabhushan's commentary. By the Rig and other Vedas, the Chaturhotaram was created with four priests and karma arose. It was not created by the... It was not created by the Itihasas and Puranas. The Itihasas and Puranas became the fifth Veda. Vyasa created the Puranas and Mahabharata, Samhita, with the five characteristics, Akhyanaihi, ancient events, Upakhyanaihi, and specific hymns, Gatabihi. This Mahabharata was the remainder of the Yajurveda. The use of Itihasas and Puranas is seen in the recitation of Brahma Yajna. They could not be used if they were not the Vedas. Appearing in the form of Vyas, Vyasa Rupam Kritva, I collate Samharami, the Itihasas and Puranas, yuga after yuga. Since it was stated that it was the remainder of the Yajurveda, the meaning is that its most important part, Tasya Bhideya Bhaga, was condensed into 400,000 verses on Earth planet. So you have the whole Veda, known as the Yajurveda. And so then what's left, what's like that, then the essence of that, then that's taken, and that's made into the Puranas. And the, you know, Mahabharata, the Itihasas. Like that. So in other words, the Vedas are very big.
Itihasa means Mahabharata
or Ramayana? Yes, Mahabharata. So here is specifically mentioning Mahabharata, because we see it's very big. But it's also the same thing. They're also eternal, because every time Ram comes and performs his pastimes. Like that. So it's always there. It's not a new thing. In the next verse, Jiva Goswami further substantiates the conclusions about the Vedic nature of the Itihasas and Puranas. He also explains the meaning of the name Veda Vyas. Anucheda 15. Tatvaiva darshitam Veda sahabhavena Shiva Puranasya Vayavya Samhitayam. Skanda Purana in Vayavya Samhita shows that the Puranas accompany the Vedas. The Lord condensing the four Vedas, dividing them into four. He is known as Veda Vyas because he divided, Vyasta, the Vedas. Being only 400,000 verses, the Puranas were condensed by him. Even today in heavenly planets, there are a billion verses. Shiva Purana 1:33-34. Footnote 7. The word Sankshiptam here is relevant. It means condensed, not composed. Srila Veda Vyas, the literary incarnation of God, condensed the already existing Vedas, Shankship, and divided them, Vibhaj. Then he took unused verses from that abridged portion and compiled them into the Puranas. Thus he did not create the Puranas as an original composition. This confirms that the Puranas, by virtue of their transcendental origin, are equal to the four Vedas. By condensing the vast text of the Vedas, he did not violate their sanctity. Rather, he simply assisted the Vedas in their natural process of concealing some of their own complexity from the people of a less intelligent age. Right? Because if you give all those technical points, people just lose interest. So you keep it, you streamline it, and you keep it to the essence. You don't lose anything. It means you lose some technical points, but you don't lose anything in the right? Right? So, just like if you say okay, a vehicle is what? Right? You know, something that gets you from point A to point B. Right? Now that everybody will catch, because as I said before by that logician, then that the student learns a word by what action it performs. Right? And so therefore that you'll catch that. Now if we ask someone else who's, let's say, a car engineer, a mechanical engineer, now he's going to say this whole thing like this, you won't remember anything or that or even connect it to that it's the vehicle. Right? And that's just the way they work. Does that make sense? Right. Well, you know something.
sometimes we get confused. Are they talking about cars or not, some other machines?
Yeah, just something, yeah. Is that what it says? So he just slims it down, and that way he says what was the word? Conceals. But it's not that he's hiding it so you can't see. It's just not important for you. You get distracted. So we have here is that yeah. So this Yajurveda, then it's all what's left of the Yajurveda, then all these things are taken and made into there. Same time, the whole thing together is known as Atharva. So that's why sometimes, as you probably mentioned, it was all known as Yajur, but sometimes he said it was all known as Atharva.
Yes.
So it seems that if you're talking about the Puranas, then you'll mention it as Yajur. And if you're mentioning it, as, including the four Vedas and everything like that, and all together, then you'll mention it as Atharva. Right, and so within that overall Atharva Veda, then within the Yajurveda portion, that one has so many verses and includes all these Purana and everything like that. And so you're just taking the essence from there. You're taking out the verses that, based on the riks, are going to be used for doing the yajnas and everything like that, and that will be called the Yajurveda. Then what's left, he'll take from that and condense that and take out. That'll be the Puranas and Itihasas. Does that make some sense? The acharyas then give us the essence of what that means, right? Because otherwise we wouldn't know.
Like in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami quotes from all the major Puranas about how Bhakti is the essence.
Yeah, who does?
Rupa Goswami.
Okay. Oh, in Nectar Devotion.
Yes.
So it's like that. That's why it says it's nana shastra vichara naikanipanam saddharma samstapakao. So they went through all the literatures and take out the essence, what is used, what will bring you the conclusion of pure bhakti. And then they've written their books. So that's then the, you know, that's why it says it's like the essence of the essence, just the pure nectar. Okay. The Puranas were condensed by Vyas. By Vyas, Skanda and Agni Puranas are so called by they were spoken by Skanda and Agni, but were written by Vyas, just as Kataka refers to two parts of the Veda studied by Kata, or the names indicate the successive causes of production. Footnote 8. For instance, Skanda Purana is written to glorify Skanda. Therefore, though it is said that the Puranas are not eternal, that is only because they appear and disappear repeatedly. Thus it is proved that the Itihasas and Puranas are also Vedas. Though the Puranas are Vedas, Sutta and others, who are Sudras, were qualified to study them. The Puranas are like the name of Krishna, which is the real fruit of the creeper of all the Vedas. The name of Krishna is sweeter than the sweetest, the most auspicious of all things. It is the highest fruit of the tree of all the Vedas and is composed entirely of pure consciousness. O best of the Bhrigu's dynasty, heard once with faith or in negligence, it can deliver any human being. Prabhasa Kanda, Skanda Purana. So here, Madhura, Madhuram, Etan, Mangalam, Mangalanam. Right, so it's the sweetest of the sweetest and most auspicious of all auspiciousness.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaurabrindam ki.